Acts chapter 2, verse number 1. And I want to read for our text tonight, verses 1 through 4. Actually, this has been read quite a bit here recently, or talked about and shared about quite a bit here recently, but we'll talk about it a little bit, but I've got another direction that I'm going from here tonight. Acts chapter 2, verse number 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. You can be seated again tonight. This portion of Scripture is where we read to begin to share upon the teaching and the doctrine of Pentecostal belief of the initial physical evidence of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. That's just kind of the basic understanding of the baptism in the Holy Ghost. That initial physical evidence that an individual has been filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, I mean, throughout the ages of Pentecost, there's always been that group that always wants to be filled with the Spirit, but they don't want to speak in tongues. And this is not really what my message is about here tonight, but yet I want to establish the understanding that when the Spirit of God comes and begins to fill that cleansed, sanctified vessel that has been cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, as He begins to come and as He begins to fill that vessel, the initial, in other words, the first physical, that means seen or heard, evidence is speaking in an unknown tongue. That's just the basics. That's the simplicity. But that is nowhere near the end of the matter. And so tonight, what I want to preach on is the rest of the evidence. Everybody likes evidence. The facts. The rest of the evidence. It's just the fact. The initial physical evidence is speaking in tongues. But that is nowhere near the fullness of what the Spirit of God wants to do in the life of a believer. And I'm fearful throughout the days of Pentecost that individuals have begun to settle for the initial physical evidence, and that's it. Well, tonight, I want to share some of the rest of the evidence of a Spirit-filled life. Hallelujah. Nowhere will this bring forth all the knowledge upon the subject, but hopefully enough golden nuggets that will help us understand that being full of the Holy Ghost is going to bring some transformation in the lives of a believer. Hallelujah. Praise God. We've talked about Peter and the Leaven preaching. Different ones, we've talked about that. Just reminiscing about it. Meditating about it. Talking about it openly. Thinking out loud, if you will. Anybody ever thought out loud? You know. And maybe not even really talking to anybody but yourself. You just want to make sure you understand it, so you talk out loud. I mean, you know, it's proven fact. If you see it and hear it, you remember it better. So some of my best preaching I've done by myself. Just out in my garage. When I first started preaching, I'd go out in my garage and begin my prayer meeting, and I'd start preaching. And then the reason I did that, because I began to listen to some other old-time preachers said, well, when they began preaching, they'd go out in the woods, and one preacher had a stump, a tree stump, that he'd get up on that tree stump, and he'd preach to the deer, he'd preach to the squirrels, and, I mean, he'd just preach the Word of God. I thought, well, you know, I'm going to try that. It works. You can hear yourself real well, and you understand what you say, and you can get it a little better. Woo, praise God. Have you ever read out loud? Ever read the Bible out loud? It helps. Read it, hear it, you get it more. Isn't that what you're after? You want more? You want to get more. Amen. Praise God. And so the rest of the evidence, here's a definition of evidence. To elucidate, I'll give you the definition of that here in a minute. To prove, to make clear to the mind, to show in such a manner that the mind can apprehend the truth, or in a manner to convince it. Evidence. Elucidate, well, it means to be bright, to be clear, to see light. To make clear, to explain, to remove obscurity from and render intelligible and to illustrate. Evidence. Elucidate is to start bringing doubt away and replacing it with light. Amen. That's the purpose of preaching. Hallelujah. Messages, the purpose of preaching the gospel is to elucidate. It's to bring the evidence to light. Amen. And so men and women can believe, or men and women can be filled with the Holy Ghost, or men and women can walk in the Holy Ghost. This is where it begins to change. This is why the statement was made by Paul, if you're going to live in the Spirit, you need to walk in the Spirit. You're going to claim Pentecost and you're going to claim tongues, then you need to walk in the Spirit of God also. Amen. The rest of the evidence. Amen. And so we see then in Romans chapter 8, verse number 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Jude 1, verse 20 and 21. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Prayer is one of the evidence of being filled with the Spirit of God. Prayer in the Spirit of God. Prayer in the Holy Ghost. Prayer in tongues. Amen. But it's prayer, in other words, it's focus, it's purpose, its desire is to touch heaven and have heaven touch earth. Hallelujah. And this is why sometimes the Spirit prays for us. We don't know how to handle the situation. We don't know how to work out the situation. A lot of times we don't even know the situation, but the Spirit of God does. Hallelujah. And we know and we understand and we perceive that prayer changes things. Hallelujah. And prayer is what brings God down from heaven and manifests himself on the face of this earth. And so when we don't know what to do, God does. Whew, hallelujah. And so prayer is one of the evidences of the Spirit of God moving in our lives. It's when we move to that place of prayer, we build up our faith in prayer. We are full of the love of God. If you're full of the love of God, my friend, you are full of the Holy Ghost. But if you're not full of love, then you're not full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. And so that's one thing Jude said. Keep yourselves in the love of God. And looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God keeps us in a place of humility to where we know that our strength and our source comes from above. Comes from above. So the evidence of the Spirit of God moving, working, filling my life is going to be a life of prayer and the Holy Ghost, and as Sister Sarah put it, moving into the presence of God. See, prayer, just prayer, to my knowledge, Hindus pray, Muslims pray, Buddhists pray. Every false religion pretty well has a time of prayer. But what's the difference between your prayer and their prayer? If it's not the Spirit of God, nothing. That's the difference between the believer's prayer and anybody else's prayer, is the Spirit of God and the unction of God and the presence of God moving that prayer into the will of God. Hallelujah. For the situation. Praise God. That's an evidence. Praise God. Acts 1, verse number 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Here's another evidence of the Spirit of God filling an individual. This is what Jesus told them, to go into Jerusalem and tarry there until you be endued with power from on high. And that power from on high was heaven coming down, hallelujah, and inhabiting a cleansed vessel by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, bringing them into a heavenly minded individual that knew that God was alive and well. Christ rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, a sitting at the right hand of God the Father. They knew it just like they were seeing it every day. And when they stood up to preach, they preached it just like they believed it. That's power. That's power from above. It is that power of reality. That power of that knowing Christ and the power of his resurrection, where doubt does not enter in. There's no doubt that it's true. We know that it's true. Hallelujah. Why? The power of God has filled this vessel to remove doubt, fear, and unbelief. And that is where boldness comes from. Think about it. If you don't think you can, you don't. But if he is so real, and you know he's real, and he is that close to your heart and your soul, you know you can. That's where Paul wrote, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That's not just a scripture so we can quote it and then go on and not do anything. It's a scripture he quoted, he wrote, he penned by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost to declare what's on the inside of the believer. Hallelujah. That I can because of him. Hallelujah. That is the power from on high. I can overcome. I can be a conqueror. That means sometimes I won't be, I might not be, but the boldness and the power brings the reality I can, and sends the other thoughts right on out the door. Did you know your thoughts can be thrown away just as fast as they came? Most people don't exercise that power. You know the devil's bringing you a lie, it is your responsibility to send it right on out and not let it dwell. I remember Brother Joey Yates preached a message one time, give the devil no plot, no place. Don't give him a place in your mind. Don't let him continue to lie. Don't let him draw you into something that you know you shouldn't even think or give place to. Wow. If we could send it just as fast as he throws it. Well, see, that's what the shield of faith is for. The fiery darts of the enemy. That helmet of salvation. Woo, hallelujah. What is that power? That's power. Hallelujah. That is that power of the reality of Jesus Christ, his voice, his ways, his thoughts, that sensitivity to the Spirit of God. And when that's going on, those thoughts may come, they'll go right on out just as fast as they can. The Spirit of God has power in my life. Glory. Oh, I mean, it's just unreal. It just from time to time, you know what I'm talking about, time to time, I can be out working or being at school, and all of a sudden that thought comes. A lot of times this is the thought that always comes to my mind. Sister Pepper works in Tulsa. She works in Bermuda. She travels a lot. I'll look at the clock and it's past time for her to be home. You know, sometimes the first thought in my mind, oh no, she's had a bad. What I do with that? You're a drop kick. Devil, you're a liar. Oh. Yeah, well, see, that's just a simple one. It's all those lies that it tries to bring to our minds about what somebody else can think about us. That's the one we struggle with. What difference does it make what anybody thinks about you if you're a child of God and you're walking in His will? We ain't nothing but dirt, church. Dirt wrapped up in a nice shirt and a pair of pants. Hello. There's a pile of dirt that's got a nice suit on. We're just nothing but dirt. That's why we can't think too highly of ourselves. You know, if you think bad about me, I'm sorry, but I'm not worried about what you think. Now, he's thinking bad about me. I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking about that. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will make it hard. If we could only grab a hold of that. Yeah. Oh. The old proverbial song, excuses, excuses. Anybody ever heard that song? Nobody else has heard that song? Oh, Brother Rob, that's revealing an age thing. Praise God. We hear him. Well, he didn't even shake my hand. Ooh. Yeah. I got to move on. I could preach this for all night. We got to move. Hallelujah. Power. That power, that's another evidence of the Spirit of God in our lives. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse number 27 says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Obedience. The Spirit of God is going to begin to bring an obedience into the believer that he didn't have before, that she didn't have before. The Spirit of God is going to begin to open up windows of heaven and truths of the kingdom of God. And they will begin to be written in us by the Spirit of God. As that Word of God comes, the Spirit of God then will quicken. And then we will begin to walk therein. See, here's the walk of obedience. Galatians 6:14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. That new man, that newness of life. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy upon the Israel of God. Walking in the Spirit, walking in the new creature, bringing an obedience, a desire, longing to be all I can be for my King. Whew, hallelujah. You see, that's a concept that's foreign to most Americans about a king. Being honoring a king and being subject to a king and allowing a king to rule and reign over. See, we've got this problem with a democracy. We think Christianity is a democracy. It's not. It's a theocracy. He's the king. Hallelujah. He is due all my honor, my submission, my commitment, my consecration. All of it belongs to him because he is the one that is the victor. He has overcome death, hell, and the grave. He has overcome sin, and he has laid down his life that I could have life, and I owe it all to him. You see, that's missing in Christianity across America. They think God owes him. Obedience, submission, kingship to our Lord. Ephesians 5 and 8, for you are sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit, and we always go to Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit, but did you know there's a fruit of the Spirit in Ephesians chapter 5? And it actually talks about a whole lot more than Galatians chapter 5. It only uses three words, but wow, those three words cover a lot of territory. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness. You can also put all in righteousness and all in truth. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth. Proving, in other words, living, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Obedience, power, light, that longing for all goodness and righteousness and truth. Hallelujah. Just more and more and more Jesus. That sounds simple. Sometimes we would consider it quote-unquote charismatic, but the reality of it, Jesus is the Word. Every jot and every tittle, that's Jesus. Hallelujah. And more of his goodness, more of his righteousness, more of his truth, more and more of Jesus. Hallelujah. So obedience begins to rise in the life of the believer. And because of that obedience, there's a departure from sin. 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Hallelujah. That Spirit-filled believer is in that departure. Amen. We are leaving this world behind. We are headed for heaven. Hallelujah. We are on our way to heaven. Hallelujah. And we are so glad. Hallelujah. We're on our way. We're on this journey. We're on this pilgrimage. We're on this walk with our God. The destination is heaven. Hallelujah. But the journey along the way can become very, very difficult. With battles, attacks, temptations. But we're still departing from sin. Hallelujah. Just like the song is sung. He don't move the mountain. I'm needing him to move. He don't part the waters. I'm wanting to walk through. He don't hear me when I'm asking. I'm still going to trust and trust and trust in him. Hallelujah. Because if it's not happening at the moment, I know sooner or later it will. It will. That's just the God we serve at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hallelujah. You know no king. Our God is able. If he does not, we still will not bow. Throw us in. Lord, I will trust. I will trust. They had no doubt. Either way, they were the winner. Lord, departure from sin. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, having not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That washing of the water of the word. Amen. That it might be holy. Holy means separate. So God is totally separate from this world. That's why he's holy. So he wants us to have that same mind frame, same attitude, the same reality. I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. I'm of the world of God. Praise God. The Bible says we're citizens of heaven. Glory to our God. Citizens of heaven. Glory. Holy without blemish. In other words, sanctifying these things. And what does that mean? By the washing of the water and the word. That's why we continually read the Bible. That's why we continually come to the house of God. That's why we continually, in this house, still have Sunday school. Washing the water and the word. Hallelujah. The word of God just keep coming over us. The more it comes, more it washes, the more it cleanses. Hallelujah. Keeps me clean. Oh. Amen. And that's why we take a shower, isn't it? Keep us clean. Now, a question for you. Anybody ever take a shower without water? It doesn't happen, does it? You can take a shower if you didn't turn on the water. Woo! Has anybody ever really got sanctified without the water? Amen. You see, that's why we've got to continually be in God's Word, because it's continually cleansing us. If it's not taking us to new heights, new levels, it's keeping us where we belong. Amen. Maintaining good works, is how Paul put it. Hallelujah. Hosea. Yes, Hosea, chapter 6. Verse number 1. We're coming to a close. This is the rest of the evidence, church. This is not all of it, but it's covering a good territory of what a spirit-filled life is going to be like. Hosea 6 and 1 says, come, let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us in the rain, as the latter and former rain come to the earth. What I'm after in this scripture is in verse 3, if we follow on to know the Lord. How are we going to know it? You won't without the Spirit of God. You won't without the Word of God. There's no way you can know the Lord. But by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God, we can know the Lord. Now, here's Daniel, chapter 11, verse number 32. Once again, a reminder, this is the rest of the evidence of a spirit-filled life. The scripture I'm about to read to you has some understanding of what it's saying is about to show us that the Spirit of God is going to begin to move in every area. Daniel 11:32. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupted by flatteries. This is talking about the Antichrist, the last days. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. You'll not see it on that screen. You'll not see it on a computer printout, but you'll see it in your Bible. That word exploits is in italics. And the translators put words in italics to let you know they put that word in there to give you a better understanding of the word they had to translate as good. In the original, it says, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do. And that Hebrew word is awesome. It means to do or make in the broadest sense and the widest application as follows. To accomplish, to advance, to appoint, to adapt to be at, to become, to bear, to bestow, to bring forth, to bruise, to be busy, to have charge of, to commit, to deal with, to displease. That's talking about the enemy. To be ready, dressed, put in, execute, exercise, fashion, feast, fight, finish, fit, fly, follow, fulfill, furnish, gather, get, go about, govern, grant, great, hinder, hold, be industrious, journey, keep, labor, maintain, make, be meet, observe, be occupied, bring to pass, perform, practice, prepare, procure, provide, requite, sacrifice, serve, set, show, spend, take, thoroughly, trim, be a warrior, be a worker, yield, use. The rest of the evidence of a spirit filled. People that do know their God will be strong and do whatever it takes and whatever needs to be done and whatever God wants done. That's what the Spirit-filled believer will be. That is the rest of the evidence of a spirit-filled life. There is not one part of your life that will not be untouched if you will allow the Spirit of God to have his way with you, with me. This is what God Almighty is after in our lives. That removes the box. That removes preconceived ideas. That removes the depending upon my own way of thinking. That's doing away with the box. You see, the box was created by the way my mind thinks. But letting the Spirit of God enlarge that box so that God can do what he wants to do. Story of Gideon. What did God do? He made Gideon's box. By taking the size of the army, woo, candles, torches, water pot. I'm going to beat all these people with 300 people, water pots, sticks, candles. I can't wrap, you ever said that? I can't wrap my mind around that. I've said that a whole lot here lately. I can't wrap my mind. I just can't wrap my mind around that. No, you can't. Just get it out of your mind that you're going to start moving with the Spirit of God. Because he don't need your mind wrapped around that. He needs your mind wrapped around him. Woo, hallelujah. He needs your mind set on heaven, set on God, knowing your God, knowing his movies, knowing his voice. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. That is the rest of the evidence that you and I are going to have to begin to produce to convince the gainsayer, to convince the one that's full of confusion, to convince the one that looks on, begins to question everything. What are you going to need? You're going to need the rest of the evidence is what you're going to need. Hallelujah. You're going to need the Spirit of God to take you into Him. Stand with me. Sister Lindsay, would you come back again? Hallelujah. Maybe this message just for me. I don't know. Hallelujah. Oh, God of heaven, I don't want to limit the Holy One of Israel. Hallelujah. By bringing you down to my box, Lord, I want to rise up to your box. Woo! And your box is heaven. And the earth is your footstool. Glory to our God. Hallelujah. Putting our God at the forefront of all our thought patterns. How big is your God? Hallelujah. That will determine how big our box will be. That's what they did on the day of Pentecost. They began to produce the rest of the evidence. They began to stand in that boldness. They began to stand in that power. They began to stand in that allegiance to the Lamb of God. They began to stand in that power of the Holy Ghost. And they became yielded vessels ready to do. We can't just get our minds set on one avenue. Doesn't mean that avenue's wrong. Don't misunderstand me. But we got to get our mind set on I'm ready to do. I'm ready to do. Glory. Because this is what the church needs, fresh and anew. How do missionaries make their way to these foreign countries? Because they came to a place in their life where they knew their God, and they were strong, and they became ready to do. Because it is lawful for the master to do what he will with his servants. Glory. And when he can get men and women with that mind frame and are ready to just do. Glory. Father in heaven, I praise your holy name. God, I thank you, Lord God, for your power. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your kindness. I thank you for your truth. Lord, I thank you, God, for this glorious plan of the salvation of mankind. And I thank you, Lord God, for the gift of your Holy Ghost. Lord God, and the evidence that begins to follow those who believe. Those to become willing, those who begin to be full of the Spirit of the living God. Oh, hallelujah, God, that we can have that excellent spirit like Daniel had. Oh, God, that tenacity as the three Hebrew children. Oh, God of heaven, Lord, that willingness, Lord God, as Gideon. Oh, Lord God, Caleb, Joshua. Lord, the list could go on and on and on of your believers who hit that point, who hit that place. They were willing to do. Father in heaven, praise your holy name. Move in our hearts, move in our minds, move in our souls. Take us. Take us, God. Take us to that place. Take us, Lord, to that spirit-filled life. Oh, that you have patterned, that you have waiting for all believers. Glory to your holy name. Hallelujah. Let's come around the altars. Let's find us a place to close out this sermon, this message. Lord, God of heaven, meet us around these altars of prayer. Stir our hearts, stir our minds, stir our souls. Lord, grip us, oh God, in your grace. Let your spirit, Lord, work mightily in me. God, mightily in me.
You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. You are God alone from before.